Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
G'day, dear listeners. You are listening to Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories here on Israel News Talk Radio. G'day, Ross.
Hello, Jono. How are you today?
Doing pretty well, thank you, my friend. Here's something interesting in the Times of Israel. Egypt authorities arrest atheist blogger. Apparently, atheism can be punished under a law that bans insults to religions. And
wait, now, one question I had when I read that, insults to religions. I wonder if they would be just as strict if, say, this blogger was talking about, Hare Krishna or something.
Well, or if he was making fun, if this particular blogger was making fun of Judaism in Egypt, I doubt there'd be any repercussions.
Probably not at all, but evidently he's not insulting those other religions. He must be insulting Islam. I'm just guessing.
So they're upset because this particular chap, Sherif Gaber, is promoting atheism, and atheism is regarded as an insult to religions, and they're going to, if they have not already, arrest him. He was in trouble apparently in 2013 for allegedly promoting atheism. What do you think? What do you think about atheism and the rights of an atheist in a religious regime?
Well, I mean, obviously they don't have a lot of rights in a religious regime such as Egypt. We've had other stories where people just there's not a lot of toleration for that. But he clearly is not going along the party line. He says, I'll probably get arrested in the next few days.
He expects
but to. I don't want you to get mad. Yeah.
All right. Well, good for him. Egypt, we reported on a particular pop singer in Egypt that got arrested and was fined, did a bit of jail time for having a real racy video clip in which she's very suggestively.
That's the banana.
That's the green banana, yeah. And there was the Russian belly dancer who left Egypt because she was threatened with legal action over her racy belly dancing that was just a little bit too hot for them. Anyway, now they're targeting atheists, people who don't believe as they do, can't have that. Interesting. We're going to be right back after these messages run out of time, Ross, but we've got a lot in this program this week, and we will be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
There was a time you didn't worry about terrorism. It was something that happened in a faraway place or to someone else. But now you want to know. Now you want to understand. Now you're afraid that you might be in the danger zone. You need to listen to Gadi Edelman on The Danger Zone every week, where you will find out the truth about what is going on in the world around you. Gadi Edelman on The Danger Zone, right here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to Israel on My Mind with Jono Van Doorn and Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. G'day, mate.
Hello, Jono. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Hey, listen, did I see recently on Facebook that your wife met Robert De Niro? She ran into him recently. Is that correct?
She absolutely did. My son Tobias and Bridget were in New York for the Tribeca Film Festival. They were doing this red carpet event. Anytime one of the movies that they're in gets released, they get the star treatment. They fly them to the, you know, wherever the showing is. So they got to ride in a fancy car, get to do the red carpet. And she said she looked out and there was a lot of people kind of, you know, gathered around somebody. She couldn't see who it was at first. But as they made their way through the crowd, there he was, Robert De Niro, because as I understand it, Tribeca is, I guess he started that film festival. So, yeah, they saw him right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if I recall correctly, I think she commented that he's kind of short.
He is kind of short, but, you know, I am too. I mean, you know, I don't know what she means by short. I'll have to ask her because, you know, I'm 5'8". So if he's 5'8", I don't know. But I think she thinks I'm average. So maybe even shorter than me. Can you imagine?
He's like a little pocket person.
He's a little bitty man.
He's a little bitty man and had no idea that Robert De Niro was a little guy. But, hey, listen, the reason why I'm talking about him.
The reason why you're making fun of short people like me is I'm waiting.
No, I didn't make fun of you.
Okay. You're talking about people shorter than 5'8", like De Niro.
Right. That's what I
okay. Little bitty guy.
Robert De Niro, right. He's opening a boutique hotel in Tel Aviv. Robert De Niro's, what is this, Nobu? I wonder if that's pronounced Nobu. Nobu is the name of the Japanese chef of the of this particular hotel.
Hang on, I'm going to let you finish. I'm just going to write that down. You said this is a Japanese chef?
I think so. I think it's a Japanese chef.
Okay, it reminds me of something else, but I don't want to do anything with that. Keep going about De Niro, the little short guy with the Japanese chef. Go ahead, I'm ready.
38-room luxury hotel on Rothschild Boulevard is to be the brand's 17th global location. Oh, okay, so there's quite a few of these around.
Are they all owned by De Niro?
Well, yeah. Apparently, Nobu was founded in 2013 by Chef Nobu Matsuhisa, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
I'm sure you are. That's probably exactly how you pronounce it.
Okay, Robert De Niro and Hollywood producer Meir Tepper. And apparently it's pretty schmick. But, yeah, they've chosen to put one in Tel Aviv.
So I just want to ask you something. As far as you know, is this a fancy restaurant or is it a short order like line where you go through?
No, apparently from what I understand, just in the few articles that I've read, it's a fancy restaurant, yeah.
I wonder if we could go there.
For the tour, do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, is it open now or is it opening? I think I read that it's opening. Boutique hospitality company Nobu Hospitality, co-owned by American actor Robert De Niro, is opening a hotel and restaurant in central Tel Aviv, the company announced Tuesday. In the first 11 months of 2017, over 3.6 million tourists visited Israel, representing a 25% increase. So that's probably one of the reasons he's opening it.
Sounds good.
You know, because he's got a lot of people coming in.
Okay. Well, good on him. Good on him for standing up to the BDS and opening one in Tel Aviv, no doubt to some protests. But De Niro doesn't care, even though he's a short guy.
Yeah. That's right. He doesn't care. It goes over his head. It just doesn't even faze him.
That's right, over the top of his head. Right. Now, there was a rapper, Azealia Banks. Are you a fan?
I am. I don't even know who this is, but I saw this, Azealia Banks. But I saw she really went on a rant on Twitter. She was going on and on and on about how she's not going back to Israel.
So I read up on this. I first saw this in the Jerusalem Post. And I read up on what she was saying, what her problem is. She said she loves her fans. She likes Israel, but she had some negative experiences by which she says she's not coming back unless it's for some real money, she said.
One of, looks like she got hit on by a rabbi is what she said.
But this, I mean, well, in the Times of Israel, it says that she got hit on by a rabbi.
Does that mean the same thing in Australia as it does here?
Yeah, it does.
You know, he propositioned her.
He propositioned her, apparently. She said, I love my fans, but the people in Tel Aviv are really rude. Now, it has to be said, Israelis are assertive. They're assertive, and they say what they mean and mean what they say. There's no sugarcoating it in Israel. Don't worry about it. Just this is what it is. And you just got to get used to it. It's not rude. It's just assertive.
She's going over the top with her complaints, though. But so. I mean, I know what some people have said. Hey, they're assertive, like you said. They're very direct. They might be a little bit pushy sometimes in a line, but she had some bad experiences. It looks like. In fact, one of her tweets said, some old Jewish lady on my LL flight screamed at me in front of the whole plane for trying to put my bag where hers was. It was so racist that I sat back in my seat and cried.
Why is it racist?
You have to have tough skin to fly on those LL flights.
Well, I mean, you know what? That's a funny thing that you should say that, because when I read initially the J-Post article, I thought, you know, it sounds like a little thin-skinned there, Azealia. Lo and behold, I had a look at the comments, and Aaron, our friend Aaron, left a comment on the J post on Facebook saying, "Hey, you're a little bit thin skinned there, Snowflake. Toughen up." She's mentioned things like the folks in the hotel, in the restaurants, in the grocery store. The grocery store treated me with such disregard. I really didn't enjoy my time there. The show is great. She went on to say that why are people I don't understand the amount of times I've been purposefully coughed on.
Now that would bother coughed you on. Too, though, because you're really.
No, I do. Like, okay, so, and I'm still telling you, when I go on the plane this November,
you're going to wear a mask.
I'm still wearing a mask. I am. I'm absolutely putting a mask on. I don't think people purposefully cough on me. I don't think I've ever had that happen.
And to the point about being a little bit sensitive, let me just read one quote. She says, "The people at security deliberately took extra long to search my things, clearly because I'm black," she added.
Oh, man.
I had an escort with me and everything, and they still held me up while I watched a bunch of white folk move past me quickly and get to the gates on time. Honey, I have, as a short white man, been hung up in those security lines and watched plenty of people of every ethnicity. You know, I mean, I think that that's probably, maybe she doesn't have a lot of experience traveling overseas because, as you know, sometimes those, you know, going through security take a little while. But El Al, for sure, is extra secure, and they'll tell you in the line, "Look, we have not had a terrorist incident, and we are not going to have one today."
That's right. Look, so, I've been held up as well, and had all my stuff unpacked, watching people going through. But you got to be thankful for that that amount of security, because it's what keeps the place safe. You can't complain about it. You know, I'm trying to be kind to this I'm trying to be kind to Azalea, because obviously she's gone to Israel, which is a great thing. She's performed there. Good on her. Hope she does come back. But she goes on to say, you know, I was purposefully coughed on, stepped on, cut in line.
Yeah.
And that's that's just an experience you're going to get in Israel, is that, you know, people who stand in line don't understand, you know, how shops work in Israel. You don't stand in a line. You just sort of get to the front and order what you want. And the person behind the counter will just acknowledge you.
It's almost like a rock concert. You have to be assertive to get your food, and you learn that after one trip.
After one
trip. So what we need to do, maybe we could just get a hold of Azalea's people and say, look, now that she knows she can wear a mask to avoid being coughed on and it affecting her, she's got to get her place in the baggage claim and not worry about it. And if you want something to eat, by golly, just push your way through like everybody else.
Push your way through like a bunch of your fans trying to get your autograph. Just push your way through, and the person behind the counter will acknowledge you. Well done. You're the most assertive. You're next. What do you want?
And I don't know rapper Azalea, and I hope that she has a, you know, an epiphany and realizes, hey, this Israel is really a great place, and I'm going to go back. Maybe she just needs to go on one of our tours, because we could help her through some of those difficult points in her.
I think,
you know.
Well, I mean, I don't know if a rabbi is sitting next to her on a plane asks her for sex. I don't know if we can help her with that. I'd like to have more details on that incident.
Yeah.
It says on my flight back, I sat next to a rabbi. Who taught me some numerology, and then asked if I would have sex with him for money.
Well, look, hey, but this makes me think it's not true, because, as you know, unless he's not Orthodox, I mean, you know, he probably wouldn't have sat next to her. See, so there might be something going on there.
I don't know. Maybe he was just dressed. I don't know. She thought it was kind of kinky, but politely declined. This is obviously after she dried her tears from the old lady yelling at her.
Right. Man.
Anyway, never listen to her music. Probably won't ever. But good on her for going, at the very least.
Shakira is going to perform in Israel. It's not, you know, not everybody's throwing the towel in. We still have people that are going over there.
Yeah, no, she's going, performing in July. So a lot of people looking forward to that.
Yeah, she's one of these artist that has shaken her fist back at the BDS movement and said, hey, I'm going anyway.
Yep, that's what she said.
Ignoring BDS. I like it when they ignore BDS.
I do too. She said, I'm happy to be in Israel, the land which has been the mother of cultures and spirituality for so long. So good on her.
Yep.
Now, Jamiroquai. Now, I am a fan of Jamiroquai. Jamiroquai recently performed to a sold-out crowd, and he's 48 now, but he apparently absolutely nailed it. Very energetic. Jamiroquai did a really good job. I would have loved to have gone to that gig.
Well, and I heard it was on Log by Omer, so it says the article that I saw said Jamiroquai sets Rishon ablaze.
Yeah. Thank you, Jamiroquai, for performing in Israel. We have to go to a break, but let's not do it with music. We'll be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
Hello, I am Walter Bingham. If you want to hear the news behind the news and the true perspective on world affairs, then the Walter Bingham File is the program for you. We bring you interviews with the movers and shakers, political commentaries, and on-the-spot reports of events as they happen. All here every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Israel time, 9 a.m. Eastern time. And it's all archived on our website. Make it a date.
Welcome back to your listeners. You are listening to Israel on My Mind with Jono Van Doorn and Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. Well, now we went to the break talking about some of the gigs that have recently played and are also coming up in Israel. Eurovision, Ross.
We're back on this Eurovision thing. What was the young lady who was Israel's representative? You weren't real fond of her music,
yeah,
but...
No, it wasn't. It's not my favorite. It's not my fave, but she made it through. And so did Australia.
Really?
Yeah. So did Australia. First 10 countries going through to the grand final are Austria, Estonia, Cyprus, Lithuania, Israel, Czech Republic, Bulgaria, Albania, Finland, and Ireland.
Good day, Jason.
Go, Jason. Just a question,
because I'm not familiar with Eurovision in this. Is it a contest? Like in America, there's American Idol where people compete. Is it a competition or what?
If I remember correctly, it's a combination of judges and voters.
Yeah, hopefully Israel. We like to see Israel win no matter what the contest is, no matter what it is. You know, I mean, as long as it's good and wholesome.
So Netta with her girl power song Toy. As I've mentioned before, not my favorite song in the world, but, you know, I hope she does really, really well. And she's still in the running. So, you know, and she's tipped to possibly win. So she's still there. Now, other things that are going on. Let me have a look here.
Okay.
What's your favorite? Are you a dessert person?
I kind of like dessert. Honestly, I don't eat a lot of sweets, really.
I don't eat a lot of sweets.
But I will, if you put it in front of me, I will eat bread pudding.
What's bread pudding?
Bread pudding is it's obviously made out of bread, but it's soft. And then you bake it in the oven, and it usually has sort of a rum glaze sauce on it.
Okay.
So it comes out the oven. It's hot. And you pour this sauce on it, and it is absolutely wonderful. So I don't make it. I don't buy it, but if I'm at a nice restaurant that serves it, I will partake in that. But other than that, you know, I don't really like cake or pie. I'm just not really a dessert person, but I am. That is my weakness, I would say.
That's something that we have in common. Like I like, you know, maybe a dark chocolate, you know, or I don't mind a little bit of ice cream if it's good ice cream, you know.
Right.
But I'm not really a sugary person. I'm not really a sweets person. I don't really like the sugar rush. It kind of makes me feel weird. But
right.
But just recently there was a dessert placed in front of Netanyahu and his wife and the Prime Minister of Japan, Shinzo Abe, and his wife. Now, I don't know what the problem was. And initially I saw some very negative reports because the dessert was served in a metal shoe.
I saw that.
Okay. Now, initially...
And I read that article.
Yep. You did? Okay, yeah. Yep. Initially, it was said that it was a great insult. Now, and I thought, why is it such an insult? But it makes sense now. Like, I was reading up on this. The Japanese have a culture of... Now, do you wear shoes in the house?
I do, yeah.
Okay. I don't so much. I like to take... I mean, I'm wearing shoes now, and if it's cold, sure, I'll throw my shoes on. But generally, we have a rule, and particularly, you know, when it comes to carpet and stuff, we just kind of prefer to take our shoes off. Right. In the house, but it is just the generally accepted manner in Japan. You take your shoes off before you enter, even in the office. Apparently, you know, you go to your place of work, and that is the rule. So to serve a dessert in a shoe and present it to the Japanese prime minister and his wife was considered maybe not the wisest thing. There were many reports. Saying, yeah, oh, what a terrible thing! You know, this is akin to serving pork or something. You know, to the Israeli prime minister. Then, in a Rut Shavah, Israel National News, the article says, was Japanese prime minister offended by the dessert he was served in Israel?
I'm opening it now.
Israeli media reports Japanese prime minister was offended after being served a dessert in a shoe while dining with Netanyahu. But the Japanese embassy denies. Apparently he wasn't. Now, this was put together by famed Israeli chef Moshe Segev, who was in charge of the meal, served the dessert in a shoe. Japanese etiquette stipulates that shoes should be kept outside of one's home and one's office. It's a metal shoe. It's clearly clean, and it's kind of an artistic presentation, apparently.
Well,
didn't have a problem with it.
Let me just say, I don't have a problem, as I said, wearing my shoes in the house. But I'm looking at the photograph, and I also realize that in certain circles, maybe this is very. As a chef, you might want to really, really go above and beyond and come up with some kind of crazy. This is just strange to me, though. I mean, to have a dessert in a shoe. Do you think it would – look at it. I mean, look at that. What if that thing was sitting in front of you at the table?
So what it looks like is a very smart pair of business shoes, leather business shoes. In actual fact, it's just made of – it's metal. And the dessert is just served inside of it there. I kind of find it odd, but I guess...
It says the dessert included pralines made of gold and white chocolate, and as a gesture to the Prime Minister of Japan, seaweeds were also incorporated. Dessert was presented in a sculpture made by international artist Tom Dixon. It just looks a little strange.
I tell you what is strange is seaweed and chocolate. I'm a little bit concerned with that.
This whole thing is just it almost. I mean,
do you know what it reminds me of?
What?
No, it reminds me of. Do you remember in The Simpsons when Yoko Ono in The Simpsons, and I think it was the B Sharps episode. And Yoko's sitting in Moe's Tavern. Do you remember this? She's sitting next to Barney.
I didn't see it.
She's sitting next to Barney, and Moe comes up to her and says, what'll it be? And she says, I'll have a single plum floating in perfume served in a man's hat. And Moe just reaches down and grabs it and puts it in front of her.
Oh, no, I miss that. That is a strange. But one other thing, I'm looking at the photo, and I look forward to meeting Netanyahu one day and maybe having dinner with he and his wife. But as I look at this table, it shows both of the families across from one another, and there's some hand holding what appear to be muffins or something.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just a strange little their chef is strange, isn't he?
He's kind of has an artistic flair that obviously creates the dialogue. I don't know. I mean, I guess I'd eat it. I wouldn't complain about the shoe. It's a memorable experience. Yeah.
Strange.
Well, how about this? Okay, here's something else. Rev Up Nation, this is in the Times of Israel. Why have luxury car sales surged in Israel? Apparently, luxury car sales have gone up.
Okay.
You don't see that many luxury cars in Israel, though, do you?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, well, in any case, despite high taxes, oh my goodness, purchase taxes, sales of cars costing over 84,000 have nearly doubled in recent years. For many Israelis, owning and maintaining a car is unaffordable. or barely affordable expense, a recent report by the Israeli Manufacturers Association estimated that it costs 28%, Ross, of the average salary to own and maintain a car. However, in the last, in the years between 2013 and 2016, the number of luxury car imports to Israel rose by 83% during...
Golly.
Now, listen to this. So it's risen by 83% as opposed to the previous 3 years, 2010 to 2013. 83% of cars that cost over $84,000, and yet the cars that they are buying are almost twice as much than they are in the States. And the reason for that is that there is a tax placed on new cars, 83%. The reason for the price discrepancy, so for example, okay, so the most expensive car on display in Tel Aviv, it's a Ferrari 448 Spider, which retails for, you know, $657,000, nearly twice the price in the United States. The reason for this price discrepancy is that Israel charges an 83% purchase tax on new cars. That's massive. That's huge.
That is unbelievable.
And despite and you know, that,
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, despite this 83% tax on new cars, cars costing over $84,000 have nearly doubled.
Well, I wonder if that's a good sign for the economy or something. You know, I was just thinking, especially in Jerusalem and some of the places that I've been, there's such a good public transportation system. True. You know, if I lived in a city, I don't even know if I would bother with a car. I just think it's smart to be able to use, especially if you have a good system. But I guess if you live further out, you might want a car. But well, I don't know if I could get an expensive car like that.
No, well, it says in this particular article in the Times of Israel, the quote is, "Our customers are the children of wealthy people, high-tech entrepreneurs who made an exit, as well as people who work in finance." Okay, there it is. Let's see a few nice cars.
I have a very inexpensive car, but I go for great gas mileage, a very economy efficient, fuel efficient vehicle. But I guess if I was loaded with money, I might like one of these Maseratis or something, you know, just kind of play around on the weekends.
And you could do that. I can't fit in those cars.
Well, this one, the one I'm looking at in this article, doesn't even have a top. You could look. You just have to wear goggles because you'd be above the, you know. But De Niro and I could ride in, you know, one of these.
You'd be very comfortable. All right, we're going to go to a break. We'll be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Welcome back to your listeners. You are listening to Israel on My Mind with John Ovando and Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. G'day, Ross. Hey, listen, I'm looking at United with Israel, and the article says Jerusalem mayor names square in honor of Trump. Now, interestingly, the square, which is opposite the new embassy, is called United States Square. I would have thought maybe they'd call it Trump Square, but apparently United States Square in honor of President Donald Trump. What's the latest on the embassy?
Well, I'm real excited about this. I know that we talked a little bit about it last week, and we may be talking about it every week because it's the thing that's in the news right now. Not only has the U.S. elected to do this ceremony on the 14th of May, making a clear, direct connection with the birth date of the modern state of Israel. This was very well planned out. They're going to open it up, and it's going to be, I think, well attended. In fact, one of the things that I read this week, you had asked, and we had kind of gone back and forth. They were up in the air, but it looks like at least Jared Kushner and Ivanka will be at this celebration on May the 14th. Did you see that?
No, I did. So I'm looking at the Times of Israel, and it says Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump to attend Jerusalem embassy opening. So I had a little bit of a look to see who else was going. It does say Jason Greenblatt and David Friedman will be there. I scanned to see if I could find Nikki Haley in this article, but she's not listed. So perhaps...
Hey, I hope. Yeah, I know where you're going.
Okay.
Maybe she will be in Washington, D.C. for the celebration that I'm going to be at. Maybe this is what, now think about this. Maybe she was listening to our show. She knew that I would be in D.C. She probably canceled her plane ticket, especially after she heard about happened
she
to
would have
Azalea.
Heard. She would have listened to last week's. She would have gone, oh, my goodness. Oh, Russ is going to be at the, I don't know, I've got to stay. I've got to go to Washington and meet Russ.
And like I said, then she also heard about the trouble that Azalea had over there. And she probably said, you know, I might as well stay in D.C. So that's exciting. And if she goes, that's great. They're going to be well attended. The U.S. is going to be strongly represented there. And it is a joyous day. I will be in D.C. We will also be, I'll be there for 3 days. We leave Sunday, we come back Tuesday. So there are going to be all sorts of events and a lot of speakers from the embassy. And I'm really looking forward to this. But I do hope that we have some time with Nikki Haley giving a talk or something, you know, while I'm there. And I think it'd be great. But, you know, this embassy thing, you mentioned the Jerusalem mayor, he's very excited about it. Not only have they named this square, they showed, I'm sure it was just a photo op, but he was out there putting the sign up in the photo
putting
that
the
I
signs
saw.
Up. That's it.
Hey, people are really loving on Trump in Israel for his strong support of the Jewish state.
Really is. And he's putting the street signs up directing people to the U.S. embassy. We should check it out while we're there. We're going to be there in November, and it'll be up and happening. We should swing by.
That's right. Now, remember when we were there last time, walking down the street, there were places, you know, those embassies are pretty guarded and they do not allow people to take photos. I tried to take, you know, like a little sneaky selfie with the embassy behind me and stuff, but it was too blurry. But people that stopped and took a photo there, they told them, rush along now, delete that off your phone. And
So,
it's in the Talpiot neighborhood. We know exactly how to get there. We could run by. I could take a picture of you from a distance, maybe when they didn't know. You could act all nonchalant, see if we could get away with it. So the U.S. clearly is opening. We've talked about this. The first 10, Benjamin Netanyahu says he's going to give special treatment. We mentioned that it looked like Paraguay was going to go. It looks like they are, in fact, going to be number three.
They are. After Guatemala, U.S., and Paraguay. Is there any other news on the horizon? Has anyone else put up their hand?
I know that behind the scenes, the Israelis are working very hard to sort of entice the people to come and open their embassies in Jerusalem. I feel like quite a few will. There's also, there are a lot of people who are, if you notice, some of the other countries are beginning to say, well, you know, it's only fair that we open in East Jerusalem, an embassy associated with the Palestinian state. So I'm seeing, you know, some of that starting to surface too. Have you seen that? It wasn't in this week's news, but, you know, Russia and a few others have mentioned this, I believe. So,
okay. Let's keep an eye on that. Anything else in regards to the embassy?
No, I'm going to hopefully give a good report when I go this week and try to even do some video and maybe put some things on our
Facebook page. If Nikki's there, make sure you get a photo with her. Now,
jumping
topics then just for a second. Here's another one in Israel National News that I want to run by you. This is interesting. Soldier hacks into IDF computer system to show its vulnerability. This is a really bizarre story. Soldier warns his commanders that the system is exposed to hacks. They ignore him, right? but he proves his point by hacking into the secret database. Now, he's known as Sergeant D, 20-year-old IDF veteran and a computer genius, no doubt. During his military service, hacked into the Army's computer systems to prove how exposed the system was. Now, this is after he had said to them, hey, listen, there are some weak spots here. You really ought to get these fixed. But they didn't heed his advice. They ignored him. Mm. And so he said, well, that's okay. Let me just show you. So he began flooding his superiors with messages warning them of defects, it says, but his commanders ignored him. They got annoyed and denied him access to Army computers and sent him to work as a kitchen worker.
Now he might get a job baking desserts and shoes or something now. That'd teach him.
Never know where it would lead. Despite the treatment, it says that Sergeant D, he didn't lose his drive to correct the weakness of the military computer system and began to hack into it. He extracted from it, get this, the personal details of the heads of the IDF cyber network.
This guy's got some guts, doesn't he?
He deserves a pay rise, I think. The same people whose job it was to protect the military system and turned to them arriving at the senior officials' homes, calling them and warning them that if he managed to get their details out of the system, then the system was exposed to hacks. Ultimately, get this, the military police arrested D. He got arrested. They questioned him and put him on trial. He explained at his trial that he had acted on ideological grounds and wanted to warn against the hacks, which is a noble thing to do, Ross. I would have thought this would be a noble thing.
Well, I would take this kid and say, okay, look, I don't agree with your methodology. I don't agree with the way that you did this to prove your point. But if they have to slap him on the wrist or whatever, because he was obviously doing things against command, it looks like. But, you know, in the end, they ought to put this guy in some sort of cyber unit, because we know that the Israelis are world experts at this. And they should have said, look, your approach we didn't like, but we're going to move you not to be a cook. We're going to put you in this cybersecurity unit. That's what they ought to do. Obviously, the kid's talented.
Obviously. But in the end, it says a plea bargain was reached with a particularly light penalty of conditional sentence and a fine of 1,500 shekels.
Wow.
So they fined him. I think this guy should open up a GoFundMe or something like that and get people to pay it for him. I'm sure they will, because really he's done a service to the IDF by pointing out where the flaws are. The guy ought to be given a proper job in the field of his expertise.
That's one thing that I think every military, every school ought to do, is we ought to be more, I guess, in tune with what are people's talents and what are they really good at. Yeah. I mean, clearly he's got a proclivity towards this incredible cyber, I guess, information system. That's what he ought to be doing.
What else we got? Anything else? We got a few minutes.
Well, yeah, let me ask you this. Did you see that the Gazans are at it again with these flaming balloons?
I tell you what, they've done a little bit of damage. And as a result, the IDF did a little bit of damage to them. So they've sent these terrorist kites, if you like, over the border. The wind has carried it, and eventually they land in the fields and burn Israeli fields.
There's an article this week in the New York Times that says that, the headline, "Flaming kites from Gaza thwarted by winds." Did you see that?
No, I didn't. What, did the wind carry it in the wrong direction? Really?
Yeah,
I haven't heard about that.
Oh, yeah.
Because last week we had the Gaza terrorist who clocked his mate in the head with his own slingshot.
Which
I literally watched about 100 times, and I thoroughly enjoyed that little sound as the rock connected with his little coconut head. So, and we all know about the stories when, because it happens, you know, not seldomly, where the Gaza terrorists, Hamas, will shoot missiles and it'll land within the boundaries of Gaza. They bomb themselves. Now you're telling me
the direction of the wind not only thwarted the kites, but also blew copious amounts of Israeli tear gas and smoke from the burning tires toward the protesters, chasing many of them away. So they lit these, they have a Gaza flaming kite squadron, I guess.
Right.
They'd worked for days to prepare for this protest along the border, built hundreds of these flimsy frame sails with tails meant to carry crude incendiary devices like rags soaked in gasoline. Their plan was to fly them in swarms into Israel with the aim of igniting the dry fields.
But it
looked like, hey, everything was going well until the wind changed. The wind was blowing the other way. So they end up falling into the Gaza Strip.
Good heavens. It's
pretty bad, yeah. I mean, you know, you got to think wind direction when you do these kind
of things. Well, that's right. So I was just going to say, so they're clever enough to figure out the weight and the design of the kite in order to get it to fly with a fireball attached. But they weren't, they're not clever enough to check out the weather forecast and the wind direction.
Right, yep.
We have run out of time, my friend. This is it.
Hey, wow, that went fast.
That went really, really quickly. But we will be back this time next week. Thank you for joining us, dear listeners, and we hope you'll join us again next week. Until then, have a great one.
Have a beautiful week.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.